Good morning. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Genesis 37. I'm glad to be at church today. You glad to be at church today? It's a good day. I'm grateful, too, to have been asked to preach God's Word this morning. Our pastor is out of town. He's with family celebrating his parents' 60th wedding anniversary this weekend. He and Carla will be making their way back tomorrow. Pray for them. Our text today, Genesis 37, comes from the outset of the story of a man named Joseph. It's a story that spans the last 13 chapters of this first book of the Bible. It really takes up more than 25% of Genesis. It's a pretty significant story devoted to Joseph's life. So Joseph is a significant biblical character, not only because of all of the material that we have concerning Joseph, but maybe more importantly, his story continues the narrative that began with a man named Abraham. Abraham, who God called and made a covenant with back in Genesis chapter 12. Joseph is part of that chosen family. In fact, he's Abraham's great-grandson, the grandson of Isaac, and the 11th of 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob, who God renamed Israel. Personally, I just kind of have a newfound excitement for the story of Joseph. We've been reading this story at bedtime with the girls. It's just great material. Joseph's just a great story. It's so engaging. I mean, it's action-packed. Joseph is one of the most authentic, real. His just story is so real. It's there. It's so good. And maybe most importantly, Joseph's story leads us again and again to behold the gospel of Jesus. This morning, we'll study just a brief section of Joseph's story. As we do, we'll put our attention on specifically on how Joseph responds with extraordinary obedience to a loving father. Joseph responds with extraordinary obedience to a loving father. Look with me now, Genesis chapter 37, starting in verse 12. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock at Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields. And the man asked, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for your word this morning. I'm so thankful that it's full of truth and it's full of good news. And I pray this morning, Father, I just pray this morning that your gospel would be on display. It would be rich and full and deep to us today as we study your word. Would you transform our hearts by it? Would you just move this morning through your word? Thank you for your message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph's story actually begins up in verse 2 of chapter 37. And we need to look in that first paragraph for just a minute about a couple of things we need to learn about Joseph before we enter into our text this morning. These are important things for our study this morning. The first that we learn, look in verse 3, is that Joseph was loved by his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other sons. We already said Joseph is one of a dozen sons, and yet here we see that Joseph is favored by Jacob above all the rest. He's the prized son. And we see, too, that Jacob demonstrated this love by giving Joseph this rare and expensive gift, this coat, this robe of many colors, a prize for his favorite son. Joseph was loved by the father. The love of the father for Joseph is extravagant. And then secondly, we see in verse 4, Joseph was hated by his brothers. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Sibling rivalry at its best, I assume. course they despised Joseph. He was favored. He had the coat. He was the prized son. They hated him so much so, we learn later in Joseph's story, that they wanted to destroy him. They wanted to kill him. Joseph was loved by his father, and Joseph was hated by his brothers. We've got to keep those things in mind as we enter our text in verse 12. Here, in verse 12, really in verse 13, we see Joseph is given a task by his father. The father sends his beloved son on a mission. Go to your brothers, verse 13. Go to your brothers. I'll send you to your brothers. In the next verse, we learn that Jacob wants Joseph to see if his brothers are well and then bring him a report back. And one of the most striking phrases in our text, one of the most striking phrases maybe in all of Scripture, I think, is what we see how we see Joseph respond. Such an incredible response to his father. A simple three-word reply in the middle of our section today. Here I am. Here I am. It's a statement that reveals a little bit about Joseph. Actually, a lot about Joseph. Here I am indicates first that Joseph is available. Here I am. He's here and he's not somewhere else. Here I am. Hand up, right? I'm here. I'm available. In responding, here I am, Joseph places himself in the presence of the Father. Here I am. Available. And secondly, we know that Joseph is willing. When he says, here I am, he's indicating that he's ready to obey his father. The translation in your lap this morning may actually say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Whatever the father asks, Joseph will do. Here I am. And given what we know about Joseph's life, even the little bit that we've studied this morning, specifically that his brothers hated him, then this statement, this here I am statement is surprising, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't Joseph have been tempted to respond in so many other ways? Jacob says, come, I will send you to them. And if I'm Joseph, I'm making any excuse. Right? That's a long trip, Dad. I'm busy. This is going to mess up my coat. No. But Joseph doesn't exempt himself. Jacob says, come, I will send you to them. And if I'm Joseph, I'm at least questioning the plan, and probably I'm beginning to disagree with Dad. Well, why? What do you really have in mind? Isn't there another way we can check on these guys? Can't they just take care of themselves? But Joseph doesn't argue. Jacob says, come, I will send you to them. And if I'm Joseph, I'm legitimately afraid. This seems like a bad idea. They might want to kill me. This wasn't going to be a happy greeting, right? They can't speak peaceably to him. If I'm Joseph, I'm legitimately afraid. And yet Joseph doesn't verbalize the fear. If he has it, he certainly doesn't let on to his father about it. Instead, do you see it? Joseph responds with extraordinary obedience to a loving father. Here I am. This phrase, here I am, is said throughout Scripture by people, many people who are available to God and who are willing to obey him. Lorna mentioned one. Moses says, here I am at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Before God calls him back to go to Egypt to rescue the Israelites, his people, from slavery, the first thing Moses says is, here I am, available and willing. Here I am is the response of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6:8. You remember the story, God poses the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah raises his hand, here I am. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 9, there's a Jesus follower by the name of Ananias. Ananias is living in a place called Damascus, and he responds to the very words of Christ from heaven. He says, here I am, Lord, and that's right before he's given the task of caring for another guy named Paul. Paul, we remember, was converted just that day earlier from Christian killer to Christian missionary. And yet Ananias says, here I am. Didn't even know the task yet. Here I am. The purpose of God is carried out by those who would offer that phrase, here I am. Man, why can Joseph say this? Why can Joseph say these words? Why can he give this sort of response? And here's when we recall the relationship that exists between Joseph and his father. We see Joseph responds in obedience because of the great love of his father. When Jacob makes the request, Joseph immediately agrees, knowing that his father loves him supremely. Why should he distrust his father now? Why should he now rebel? Why now should he fail the one who has loved him so extravagantly? You see, the love of the father compels him to obey. Joseph, here I am, he says. You see it? And not only does Joseph in our text today respond verbally in obedience, but he acts in obedience. How? He takes the journey. The distance from Hebron to Shechem would have been about 50 miles. We're not walking down to the pack-a-sack here to check on these guys, right? This is a journey. And Joseph is on foot. I mean, this is a task. And yet Joseph goes. And what happens when Joseph gets to Shechem and he doesn't locate his brothers? He keeps searching. He moves on. Do you see his relentless obedience? Man, that's not what I'm doing when I get to Shechem, right? I arrive, I don't see any sheep, I don't see any of my kinfolk, I'm headed home. Are you with me? Dad, I tried. Those shepherds, I don't know where they went. I mean, remember, his brothers hated him. His brothers wanted to kill him. We would have excused Joseph right here if he would have said, okay, good enough, Joseph, you did what the father asked, sort of. I mean, you tried. They want to kill him that very day. And yet, Joseph goes to Dothan. Joseph responds with extraordinary obedience to a loving father. The story of Joseph points us to another son with a father who loved him and sent him on a mission. Jesus, of course. Jesus, like Joseph, and yet better than Joseph, said, "Here I am." This is the gospel. That God, the Father, with such gracious love, sends His beloved Son, Jesus, on a journey to a far place to seek and to find those who would despise and reject Him. This is the gospel. Jesus was both available and willing to accomplish the work of salvation. This is good news for us. This is good news for me because apart from the mission of Jesus, we are eternally lost. We are, all of us, like Joseph's brothers, full of sin and far from the Father. That's what the Bible teaches, full of sin and far from the Father. Our sin keeps us not just 50 miles away, but infinitely separated from the God who loves us and knows us and created us. The Bible teaches us in Romans 3:11 that in our sin, because of our sin, we're not even searching after God. We're not even going in the right direction. We're more like the brothers of Joseph who travel on farther away into Dothan. We're separated in our sin. So Jesus says, "Here I am." Oh, man. And he comes seeking, accompanied by the great love of the Father. Jesus comes to find us. This is the gospel. Jesus, like Joseph, and yet infinitely better than Joseph, could have rejected this offer, this task, but he didn't. Jesus, he didn't make excuses. Jesus didn't argue with the Father's plan, and he certainly didn't allow fear to keep him from this task that was determined, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. Jesus says in John 6:38, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Here I am." Jesus, like Joseph, and yet better than Joseph, obeyed completely. He obeyed completely. Jesus was obedient. Philippians 2:8 tells us, "To the point of death, even death on a cross." Even, we might say, to Dothan. Even, if we were to continue the story of Joseph in Genesis 37, even to the deep pit left for dead. Jesus has gone to such great lengths to find us and bring us back to the Father. This is the gospel. Have you responded with, here I am to Jesus? I think that's the question at the end of this section. Have you responded with, here I am to Jesus? You see, the gospel invites us to say, here I am. The gospel invites us to repent of sin and believe only in the death and resurrection of Jesus, because only He can forgive. Only He can bring us to the Father. Only He can restore us. And this morning, Jesus still seeks sinners. Is He seeking for you this morning? Is He going toward Dothan, where you are this morning? Will you believe in the gospel? It's good news. And if you believe in the gospel, if we know this extraordinary love of the Father, if we know the love of the Father, then we now respond every day with that extraordinary obedience. Have you ever considered why you obey God? Why you obey God? I found in my own life that sometimes I obey to earn God's approval. I obey to please God or try to please God. Sometimes I obey just to keep from the consequences of sin. I see that a certain pattern in my life will bring this realm of destruction, and so, yeah, I'm going to avoid that, right? I obey God to keep from the consequences of sin. Sometimes I obey because I have this sense of obligation. God has blessed me here, here, and here, and so I will obey here, here, and here. We kind of worked this out, this obedience thing. Why do you obey God? And the reasons that I've mentioned, I don't think are completely misguided reasons to obey. But our text today, I think, shows us maybe a better model for obedience, for Christian obedience. Like Joseph, our obedience to God should be compelled by His love for us. We obey because God has loved us supremely. Our obedience flows out, is a response of the gospel in our lives. You see, salvation in Jesus is like this coat that He has given us. This coat of many colors, this rare and expensive gift that the Father has in His love bestowed upon us. We become the favored sons and daughters. Those who have been found by Jesus now are the recipients of the Father's lavished love. And so we only have one response to the gospel. We have but one phrase to speak. Here I am. Here I am, again and again, day in and day out, the thing that comes out of my mouth toward God in response to the gospel. Here I am. How would your life change if that was part of your prayers every day? Here I am, available and willing, ready. Here I am. For the one who is grieving or weary or alone, here I am means allowing Jesus to be your comfort and your rest and your best companion today and every day. Here I am. For the addict, for the one who is struggling with deep sin, here I am means giving Jesus the authority to uproot those things that only bring death. Here I am is a bold statement. It's a bold prayer because it might mean relinquishing control. It does mean relinquishing control. And it might mean taking real and extreme measures to kill sin in your life. But in response to the gospel, would you say, here I am? For parents, here I am means trusting God as you serve and teach and discipline your children. Here I am. It's a recognition. Oh man, it's a recognition that your plan is not the best and that God can have His way. Would you say, here I am? For the one finding success in some area of your life, your career, your athletics, your academics, for the one finding success, here I am means humbly assigning to God any glory that you receive. Here I am. And I think it's a willingness to give up everything if God requires it. Here I am. For the one facing a difficult decision, the one who is anxious, the one who is uncertain, here I am means simply surrender. Here I am. It means much prayer. It means opening God's word and expecting Him to speak and expecting Him to direct. Would you say, here I am? And for everyone who has believed in the gospel of Jesus, everyone, here I am certainly means that we participate now in God's mission of telling the gospel to others. Here I am. I will go whatever it takes. The gospel is so good that my only response becomes, here I am, available and willing to be used by the Father. How would your life change if here I am was part of your prayer life every day? You see, as we behold the gospel, we no longer have excuses. We no longer have arguments. We no longer have fears. All of our reasons for not obeying are overwhelmed by the love of God, who would send His favored Son to seek and to find even me. So we respond like Joseph and like Jesus with this extraordinary obedience to the Father because of His great love for us. We know that God speaks through His word, and so how will you respond today? How will we respond today? Have you responded, I think, first of all, to God's glorious gospel with this simple, here I am? You see, Jesus left His Father to come and to seek after far-off sinners like you and me, and maybe He's seeking you today. And maybe today you need to repent of sin and trust in Jesus. He's still seeking sinners. Would you respond to the gospel today? And Christian, are you yourself available and willing before God? Man, is the refrain of my life, is the theme of your life, here I am before the Father? What is God asking of you today? What is He asking you to say, here I am about in your life today? In the next few minutes, where you are as we stand, if you come forward to pray with us, what decision is God asking you to make? You're invited. The gospel goes out, and the response is for us today. Here I am. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing. Father, thank You so much for Your gospel and for the good news. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the journey that He took to the cross to bear my sin and the sin of the world. Thank You that He is alive and He invites us. God, I pray today that You would have Your way in our hearts, that we would be surrendering to You with a hand lifted, here I am. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.